2015 Tony for Best Musical, Score, and Book went to the show Fun Home, which opens at the Wharton Center next week. The show was also co-written by Lansing native Lisa Crone, who sat down with our own Jamie Paisley.
Lisa Crone, thanks very much for joining us here at WKAR.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Fun Home is your first kind of musical attempt, with the exception of something that you did here in Lansing for Purim.
Right, I did. My father was one of the founders of Congregation Kehillat Israel, and my Hebrew school class and cohort, we did a lot of, I would say still a very remembered Purim plays. I don't want to use the word legendary, but people still talk about them.
You grew up and you graduated from Everett High School, and you grew up in West Lansing. And that story, I think it's very interesting about why they chose that area.
Yeah, I mean, my family moved here in the 60s, and my parents were looking to buy a house. They didn't really have any money. That was one thing. But also, my mother was very interested in us growing up in a racially integrated neighborhood. And the west side of Lansing at that point was in the process of being blockbusted. You know, it was being converted from an exclusively white neighborhood. There were still covenants on houses then that said, you know, whites only, to clearly on its way to being an all black neighborhood in the way that was manipulated by outside forces. And my mom started talking to other neighbors, and they formed this organization called the Westside Neighborhood Association, which was really the, you know, the backdrop of my entire childhood. And the neighborhood is still a stable, racially integrated neighborhood.
So socially progressive. Did they know that you were a lesbian before you did?
No.
You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. No, I was more like a, you know, I was like a weird grandmotherly antique collecting child, I think, more than being like a sporty girl or, you know, I was a kind of a booky, nerdy girl.
Short hair and your dungarees and your lace-up boots and your keys, oh, your ring of keys.
You have in Fun Home that kind of moment of epiphany of self-realization with Ring of Keys.
Yeah.
What was your moment, and did that tie into that writing process?
You know, I wouldn't say that I had that kind of a moment. There were other things that were more, you know, when Janine Tesori and I were working on adapting Alison Bechdel's story, Fun Home, Janine has said it's hard to tell sometimes which of our childhoods, you know, make up the thing that we made. But for me, I think it was more, I went to Kalamazoo College and I was involved in the what was called the Women's Interest group, or WIG. And so what I think, as I was writing those scenes that take place for Allison in Oberlin College, I definitely was picturing my experiences at Kalamazoo College. You know, that dorm room, Allison's dorm room, in my mind was my dorm room at K College. Mm-hmm. And the gay union in Allison's book was the WIG room in my experience. So I think those were more the parallels that I were really useful to me in writing the piece.
I'm trying to tell you something, and I'm having a hard time because it's kind of a big deal.
We've been chatting with Lisa Crone, Lansing native and co-author of the Best Musical Tony winner, Fun Home, which opens at East Lansing's Wharton Center this Tuesday, June 6th, and runs through the 11th. You can find our extended interview with Lisa Crone online at WKAR.org, as well as links to the Wharton Center's website for tickets to the show. For WKAR, I'm Jamie Paisley.
Your swagger and your bearing and the just right clothes you're wearing. Your short hair and your dungarees and your lace-up boots. And your keys, oh, your ring of keys. I know you.
Current state on WKAR. Yeah, I can hear you asking, what do 200 parakeets and cockatiels sound like? Like this. That's the Lansing Potter Park Zoo exhibit called Wings Down Under, a special house featuring over 200 grass parakeets and cockatiels in free flight all around you. The birds are specially trained and raised in captivity, so they're comfortable and very friendly around folks of all ages. It just reopened Wings Down Under at the Potter Park Zoo. Current state on WKAR. The U.S. Small Business Association launched its Innovate Her Challenge in 2015 to honor outstanding women's achievements in the workforce. One of this year's stories has a Michigan connection, and WKAR's Brooke Allen brings it to you now.
The Innovate Her 2017 Awards happened, and there was a winner, and her name is Alexa Jones. Good morning, Alexa.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And Alexa is not in the studio by herself. Tony Willis is with her, and Tony is LEAP's director of the New Economy Division. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
A very exciting time. And so, Tony, I want to go to you first and tell us what Innovate Her is all about. That's kind of hard to say, by the way.
Yeah, it is. That's the SBA for that. So Innovate Her is a SBA initiative, the Small Business Administration initiative, to support entrepreneurship and small business that focus on benefiting women and families. So they have a competition. This is their third year doing this initiative. LEAP second year participating in it, doing the local events here. And it's all about finding a company that has a product that can benefit and improve the lives of women and families.
So not just women, the families seem to be kind of the key element of this.
That is correct, yes. And the three criteria they look at are, for one, is the women and families piece. Two, is it able to be commercialized? And three, does it really fill a gap in the marketplace?
Okay, so how many contestants were there last night?
So last night we had five contestants, ranging from everything from a dating app to a therapeutic, phototherapeutic blanket that cures infant jaundice, which we'll hear from Alexa later on today, and everything in between, a catering service to a doula service also. So it really is a wide range of ideas that presented last night.
Seems like those could all be tied in together somehow, right?
Yeah, it seems that way. It's some big conglomerate of all those works together.
Definitely. So what is the prize for the winner?
Yeah, so the prize for our local competition received $1,000 from LEAP, as well as a one-year membership for the Technology Innovation Center, which is a tech incubator located downtown East Lansing. So that was the local prize.
Okay.
And then the winner is also gets to submit it for the regional, then the national competition. If they compete in the national competition, there's a chance to win up to $40,000 in prize money. So Alexa, will work with Alexa to submit her package to the SBA national level and see if she's selected to compete on the national stage.
These products you could very well see somewhere down the road. Or they're actually in process right now?
Yeah, some are still in development phase. They're still like in beta. Some of the companies that presented had their services or product fully available at that moment in time. They were post-revenue and had sales, had clients established. So the idea was that it could be idea phase, as long as it could be commercialized and come to fruition in some point in time. So it was quite a good mixture of folks.
Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. So, Alexa, we already blew your cover. We know we said that you won. So go ahead and tell me what you've developed.
Sure. So our company is called Therapy Medical, and we are producing a product called Snuglet. And Snuglet is a wearable phototherapy device that treats infant jaundice. And it can be used either in the hospital room or also sometimes at home. And it's a wearable technology that promotes maternal infant bonding and breastfeeding to occur during phototherapy. So jaundice affects over 2.5 million babies in the U.S. alone each year. So that's a lot of people experience phototherapy during the first few days of their child's life. And the current treatments that are offered really aren't ideal. They cause separation between the mom and the baby. It's difficult for the nurses to manage the treatment, and it makes it really difficult for that bonding and breastfeeding to happen without actually physically removing the child from the current devices. So our product is, the goal of our product is to solve those problems that are currently happening.
Tell me how this product works.
Sure. So it provides the blue light phototherapy inside of an infant's swaddle. So just as you would swaddle your baby normally after birth, our product allows you to do that, but still the baby is receiving phototherapy 360 degrees around their body. So instead of putting the baby on what's called a billy blanket or sometimes under an incubator, an overhead light, you are able to actually hold your baby and the light is shining on their skin the entire time you're holding them. So the routine care and the things you would normally do if your child didn't have jaundice, you still would be able to do while your child is still actually receiving the treatment that they need.
Tony Willis, thank you so much for coming in, the LEAP director of the New Economy Division, and Alexa Jones, the winner of the Innovate Her 2017 award. So again, thank you so much.
Listening to Current State on WKAR. MSU alumnus Peter Carey plays legendary Detroit Tigers broadcaster and iconic Michigander Ernie Harwell in the Mitch Albom play Ernie, the longest-running play in Detroit theater history. Peter Carey will be playing Ernie as it begins a new run at Detroit's City Theater this Thursday, June 8th. Here, MSU Today's Russ White gets together with Peter Carey to talk about Mitch Albom and the Hall of Fame Tiger announcer.
Peter, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, sir.
For the few out there who don't know, and I'm not sure if plot is the right word, but tell us about Ernie.
Well, Mitch did a wonderful job writing it. It's when you're dealing with such an iconic figure such as Ernie Harwell, so beloved and has so many stories in his repertoire, how do you do it? Well, he designed it and wrote it so that it's 9 innings of Ernie's life. And it takes place on his farewell speech, on the night of his farewell speech at Comerica Park in 2009, when he said thank you very much to everybody. And so it's that evening, he's getting ready for his farewell speech, and then all of a sudden this mystical, mysterious boy shows up, and that's his title, Boy. And he coaxes Ernie into telling him his life's broadcast. And you sit there, you go, what? Well, he coaches him and cajoles him into 9 innings of from when Ernie's 8 years old through his childhood, how he got started in broadcasting, and ending up on stage with his final farewell speech.
And what attracted you to this role?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've always been an Ernie Harwell fan. And a friend of mine, an actor friend who's an attorney, was doing the legal work for the play, and he called me up and said, hey, they're looking for an understudy. And he goes, and I know you love Ernie and you can sound like him. And so I went in and read a couple of little paragraphs of copy and of script, and they said, oh, yeah, great. Well, then I get the script, and it's 60-plus pages, and I go, wait a minute. I haven't memorized this much stuff in a long time, so it was a big challenge.
Yeah, can you give me the ear for this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And Peter, I'm wondering, what are the challenges of playing such an iconic figure as Ernie Harwell, whom so many of us love and are so familiar with, as opposed to playing a fictional character?
Well, that's an excellent question, because Ernie is so loved, you have to respect the man. In some people's minds, the myth, the legend, but you don't do an impersonation of him. You don't do a caricature of him. You channel Ernie Harwell, and if you're true to his belief and how he lived his life, it comes through on stage and people love it. So you can't make fun of it. You have to be honest, and there are aficionados out there that show up and go, wait a minute, Those shoes aren't right. He would never have tassels on his shoes. And so you change the wardrobe. But we have Ernie's glasses and his iconic Greek fisherman's cap, and it's fun.
And since you've got your own lifelong relationship with Ernie, is there a part of the play that's particularly meaningful to you?
The whole thing is incredible, but I get a special, call it a tingle, because that's Ernie's word, when I talk about seeing, there's a scene where Ernie talks about his first ballpark. And he says, every kid remembers his first ballpark, no matter how old he gets. And then he visualizes his first ballpark. Well, my first ballpark was Tiger Stadium as a kid. And it was Ernie Harwell on the radio, you know, listening to 760.
And, you know, Peter, you're engrossed in playing the character, obviously, but have you been able to notice some of the audience reactions? And again, for such a beloved figure, that must be heartwarming as well.
You do feed off the energy of the audience. That's one of the great things about live theater. There's this exchange between actor on stage and audience, even though there's the proverbial fourth wall. It's funny because you have these women that have these big, burly baseball fan husbands weeping on their shoulder, and they're patting them going, it's all right, honey, it's all right. Because it's a very emotional play.
Is there something you've learned about Ernie that maybe we didn't know that you could share with us?
I knew he was loved by the public, and that everybody like myself probably had Ernie Harwell stories. But the magnitude of the people this man touched is phenomenal. People come up. I had a lady Sunday night after the show wait around to talk to me, and she goes, I have seen this play 7 times. And she started to tell me a couple of her Ernie Harwell stories when he came to her church, when he came to another women's function that she was at. You don't understand the magnitude of his reach until you interact with all these people.
Peter Carey is my guest. He's playing Ernie Harwell in Mitch Albom's acclaimed Ernie. What about working with the genius that is Mitch Albom?
Oh, he's wonderful to work with because not only does he respect you as an actor, he gives you permission to try things with his content. And it's a mutual collaboration of, okay, let's try this, and then, wow, that works, or, well, not really. So that's the great thing about it. You work through it, and you make it better. And if he sees something that has changed, this is our 5th year, and he made some tweaks this year to lines and things. He said, yeah, let's try this.
What about with all we've talked about acting and performing on and digital media, what's your advice to the young Spartans or any young people looking to get into this kind of field today?
Don't give up. You have to, we joke about it, but you have to thrive on rejection. Let's put a little baseball in it here. If you're batting 200 in your auditions in the performance world, you're doing great.
I'm talking with Peter Carey, who's Ernie in Mitch Albom's Ernie Harwell. And as we close, Peter, can you maybe give us a favorite line or two as Ernie?
Well, it's wonderful. There are standard Ernie calls that people adore, and they actually cheer when we do them in the play. Ernie is about to sneak out, and the boy doesn't want to let him go yet. And he goes, please, please, do some of your calls. And so Ernie goes, grounded a trammel over to Whitaker to Evans, that's 2 for the price of 1. Strike 3 looking, he's called out for excessive window shopping.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Detroit Tiger Baseball.
That's current state for you today. We make the show here at the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at MSU. The show's produced by Brooke Allen, Katie Cook, Kevin Lavery, Jamie Paisley, Scott Pohl, Corel Vega, and our news director is Reginald Hardwick. WKAR's director of broadcasting is Susie Elkins. I'm your host, Peter Wharf, and Current State is a production of Michigan State University Radio.
fielder Al Kaline stepping in. Game is scoreless since the third inning. Big series for the Tigers, perhaps even bigger for the Red Sox. Here's the set on the mound by Lomborg. He delivers. Here's a long belt to that. This will be a home run for Kaline. And the Tigers lead 2-11. Now hits one for three. Number seven for Kaline. He hit an inside pitch, and he pulled it with power into the screen in left field. A two-run homer by Kaline, and the Tigers jump in front 2-0 in the third.